Congress finished work yesterday on the biggest supplemental spending bill in U.S. history. The $87.5 billion measure passed in a nearly empty Senate chamber by a voice vote. In a statement, President Bush commended Congress for providing the funds to support the U.S. mission in Iraq and Afghanistan. Before the bill passed, Democrats criticized how the war in Iraq is being conducted, but promised to keep funding it. NPR's David Wellner reports.
The mood in the Senate was somber yesterday. Republicans said relatively little on Iraq, but Democrats repeatedly mentioned the toll in lives the war there is taking, especially since Sunday's deadly downing of a troop transport helicopter. California Democrat Barbara Boxer displayed a large chart listing the names of the 73 California service members who've died this year in Iraq.
Jorge Gonzalez, Thomas Mullen Adams, Jose Gutierrez, Randall Kent Rosacker.
Boxer ended the list with the name of the first female soldier from her state to die in Iraq this year. 20-year-old Karina Lau, she said, was one of the 16 troops who died in the helicopter crash. Illinois Democrat Richard Durbin said the chopper's pilot, another fatality, was a member of the Illinois Air Guard Reserve. Durbin acknowledged the Senate was about to approve a massive funding bill that implied an even bigger commitment in Iraq.
Today, in one of the darkest hours with some of the saddest news, it is difficult to look at this and understand how even money is going to solve our problems. I voted against this preemptive and precipitous war, but today I face a moral dilemma.
The dilemma being that he also felt bound to stand by the American forces in Iraq risking their lives. We cannot, Durbin declared, cut and leave. North Dakota Democrat Byron Dorgan declared the wartime funding bill full of flaws. He said it lacked accountability for how the money's spent, as well as any requirement that Iraq repay even part of the more than $18 billion earmarked for building up its economy. Still, Dorgan, too, could not bring himself to oppose the overall bill.
This country cannot send its sons and daughters to war and then say to them, oh, by the way, when you need some additional money for equipment and ammunition and those kinds of things, we won't provide them. We have no other alternative. We have an obligation to provide that which our military needs to complete this mission. We must do that.
But West Virginia Democrat Robert Byrd, who's a leading critic of the war, called the bill a monument to failure.
Backing a flawed policy with a flawed appropriations bill hurts our troops in Iraq more than it helps them.
At that point, Alaska Republican Ted Stevens, the bill's chief sponsor, said he'd had enough.
What am I hearing? People are willing to let the bill pass without a vote, and yet they want to criticize the president for asking for this money?
Stevens called on the Senate to deem the bill passed by unanimous consent, but West Virginia's Byrd insisted there at least be a voice vote. Presiding Officer Lincoln Chafee, a Rhode Island Republican, obliged.
All those in favor of the adoption of the conference report say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
And so the bill was cleared for the president's signature. Of the five members present, only Byrd had voted no. With polls showing solid majorities opposed the wartime spending bill, the rest of the Senate seemed quite happy to let it pass without their votes being recorded. As one senator put it, I think everyone knew how it was going to come out. David Wellner, NPR News. The Capitol.